Let us pray. Savior of the world, we thank you for the gift of salvation made possible by your birth and your life poured out on Calvary's cross. May we live in such a way that your life will not be given in vain. And so this day, Lord, take our hands and lead us to the comforts of Zion. In his name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. The message today is focused on the Old Testament reading that Pastor shared with you just a few moments ago from Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. I would like to share that reading again with you, and this comes from the New Living Translation, Hope for Restoration. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived, and a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. He comes, and we come. We start this morning with this word, he. Who is the he who is coming? Clearly, it is the Lord God himself. Be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. Isaiah, the prophet, is writing this prophecy, looking ahead to a time when the people of God will need saving. That would be when Judah would be taken captive in Babylon some years after the time of Isaiah. And that Babylonian captivity would be a great disaster for God's people. They were defeated by their enemies. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the temple itself was destroyed. The people of Judah were taken off in exile, as exiles living in a strange land, ruled by a pagan emperor. In fact, things couldn't get much worse for those people. And it is so in this situation then that when people feel powerless and shaky and worried to a situation just like this, Isaiah speaks a word of hope. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. He comes. The Lord is coming, and he is coming to save us. He will defeat our enemies, and you will be delivered from their hands. And that is what happened in the case of Judah at the time of the Babylonian captivity. Eventually, Babylon was defeated, and they were defeated by Persia in the year 539 BC. And the next year, the Persian emperor, Cyrus, told the Judean exiles that they could return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. But really, it was the Lord, the God of Israel, who made all of this happen. He comes and we come. The Lord comes to save his people, and then they come. The people of God came out of that exile, and they came back home where they belong. And Isaiah tells this too. He foresees a highway running through the wilderness, sort of a divine express lane, running straight from Babylon back to Jerusalem. A great road will go through the once deserted land, and it will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. And there will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. And so it is the redeemed that will walk and travel on this holy highway, the ones that the Lord had set free from the captivity, and they will be heading home. And they will enter Jerusalem, singing and crowned with everlasting joy. He comes, and we come. When the Lord comes and redeems his people from their captivity, then they will come. They will come back to Zion, the dwelling place of our Lord, in the midst of his people. And Judah did come back to Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and they did rebuild the temple. They did come, and this did come true for Judah. But is that all Isaiah is prophesying here in this passage? There's more to it than that. The fulfillment of this prophecy would be something much greater than the return to Jerusalem. After all, Isaiah here, he speaks of singing, crowned with everlasting joy, and sorrow and mourning will disappear. But this joy in the people of Judah did pass. Eventually, the temple would be destroyed again, this time by the Romans, and it has never been rebuilt since. But Isaiah has something greater here for us today in this prophecy, and it is the ultimate. He comes and we come of all time. The enemies are far worse than the Babylonians and the Romans. The captives, the exiles, are far more than just the Judeans. The distress is much deeper, and to overcome this, it takes much greater things to happen. But when it happens, it'll be more glorious. This time, the He is still the Lord God. But it is the Lord God come in the flesh, in the person of the baby Jesus. He comes to save us. Even his name, Jesus, means the Lord saves. And so Jesus comes to us to save us. And we are the people that he comes to save. It's not just for Judah. It's not just for the Jews, but us Gentiles also. All sinners, both far and near. Ours is a distress that covers the world. The shroud of death covers all mankind. And for this, it's because we have sinned and we have earned death by our sins. We are the captives. We are the exiles. We were far off from our promised land, exiles driven out of the garden, cut off from the tree of life. We were strangers and we were separated from God by our sins. But God does come. He comes to save us. He comes in the only way possible to save us. He comes as our brother. The Son of God comes as one of us so he can fulfill all righteousness for us and so he can die the sinner's death in place of all of us. And so on the Son of God, only the Son of God could do that. And he has done that for us. He has defeated our enemies, our biggest enemies, sin and Satan and ultimately death. And all of them have been defeated when Jesus stomped on that devil's head as he died on the cross at Calvary. Death's domain is shattered. Resurrection and life, eternal life, have the victory. Jesus says to you and to me today, come. Come and be forgiven. Come and receive my life. The gift is yours. Take it by faith. You are clean by my blood. I am the way and the truth and the life. Come follow me, and I will lead you home. And what will we find when we get there? He will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. Here we have the restoration, the beautiful restoration of creation. Everything that went wrong with the fall into sin, the curse upon the land and upon all of humanity, all that is going to be reversed. Streams in the desert, where there was arid wasteland, now there will be beauty and fruitfulness. Even our bodies will be fixed up better than new. Eyes seeing sharp and clear again. Ears hearing like they're supposed to. There'll even be lame lords a-leaping again. Ears hearing, mute voices singing for joy. Pastor, we won't have to worry about a choir. The whole place will be a choir. Jesus did the healings like this even during his ministry while he was here on earth. And that was just a sneak preview of the ultimate healing that's going to take place when Jesus raises our bodies from the dead on the day when he returns. And so this calls for celebration. Creation itself will join in the singing. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel, or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. He comes and we come. God has done God's job. And for that, this day, we are thankful to him. And so we pray. Lord Jesus, when we struggle with doubts and unfulfilled hopes, remind all of us of your words and the works that assure us of your saving love. We thank you, God, for sending your Son, Jesus, to be our brother, to redeem each and every one of us and the entire world. And as we travel through Advent and we journey towards that beautiful Christmas day, remind us once again the forgiveness of sins and the joy that we have as we travel here on this world. And God's people said, Amen. At this time, then, we will make confession of our Apostles' Creed, and Pastor will be leading us in that. Again, this is a responsive reading.